This is At the Races with Steve Beck.
A very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com as well. Coming to you from a soggy upstate New York. Can't imagine that the training over at the Oklahoma this morning was all that pleasant. I'm sure there was a little cleanup and a little mud to push around. We got strafed last night, and in fact, I imagine it's hard to know because sometimes Saratoga sometimes it gets avoided. And I did notice when they gave us a thunderstorm advisory and dangerous winds and all that, that it only listed Washington County. So at one point, so maybe Saratoga avoided it. But it as Tina and I we had moved upstairs after an exhausting weekend. I got to tell, not just weekend actually. Really, it was 4 days. Think about it, between the baby being here and Thursday, Friday. So it was action packed. And I'm sure, like many of you, getting back into action packed mode is not easy. Not easy, post-pandemic mode, right? So anyway, as we came upstairs, the storm was really rocking. I mean, there were some thunderclaps that were just, literally, rattled the window types. Yeah. And it went on for a while. And I was thinking to myself, this is all right. It's Saratoga season. And speaking of which, before I got a handful of news items and things, and we got kind of a mixed bag morning. But the Saratoga individual ticket sales tomorrow, 10 o'clock, and Pat McKenna, who was with us last week when a lot of things changed in terms of the landscape for attending Saratoga, and set off another series of excited response, and I think reservations. I have never had more questions about where to stay, where to eat, and those kinds of things. I'm having trouble keeping up with them. So if I haven't gotten back to you, hang in there. But had a couple of questions, including from our friend Frank this morning. And Frank has been coming up to Saratoga for forever. And there was some, I guess there's some very limited advanced stuff that was for Naira Betts customers, but that's a very limited, if you saw that, so don't get confused by that. The individual day opportunity starts tomorrow at 10 o'clock, and Pat can't join us this morning, but we'll talk to him in hour one on Wednesday. And I did notice that. In fact, I guess it was. I'm I'm looking forward to next week being off. I got to tell you, my brain is like pudding. I guess it was Sunday. Sunday coming back from Connecticut from my father, and I saw that we stopped at a steward shop and got gas, and they had they got on the gas pumps that the grandstand passes, the season passes, went on sale yesterday. And that's a crazy value. I kind of nuts. to be able to, you know, just buy, you know, buy the, you know, the season pass, which just basically gets you in. And if you're a walk around type, that's the best deal going. Cause you, what, you only have to have used it or come to 7 days worth out of the 40. So those are on sale as of yesterday. Single day ticket, reserved seats in the clubhouse, the grandstand, and the stretch start tomorrow at 10 a.m. Okay? Also, single day reservations for tables at Four Star Dave and the Carousel. And I will call it the Carousel forever. The Picnic Paddock and the Rail. Those are the patio tables at the 1863 at the new facility on the clubhouse side. Same thing tomorrow, 10 a.m. Single day dining reservations in the turf terrace, the porch, and the club terrace, the traditional dining areas that, you know, existed that existed dating back to the 1800s. Those tickets, they will not go on sale until next Wednesday, all right, the 30th. So for those that want to, you know, get individual, the week long, if you're planning to come for a week, you've been able to buy, you know, a week long group of tickets for a week now. But most people, I think, you know, the vast majority are picking out, you know, one day here or 2 days, you know, together, etc. So, and the, again, season and weekly plans are already on sale. Go to Naira's Saratoga website. And actually, if you're interested in group stuff as well, call the office. Call group sales, 844-NIRA-TIX, 844-NIRA-TIX. Okay? And, you know, I know a lot of people. Yeah, and then here, regarding that grandstand pass, as I mentioned, it's $50, which is just silly. I mean, if you're local, even if you're not that local, $50, and you can, you know, you get in every day. Yeah, there's been a lot of, you know, quick arrangement, you know, short notice type arranging that's had to go on for everybody, right? I mean, it's true of not just of Naira, but, you know, for those that were uncertain about, you know, whether they were going to come this summer, etc. Now everybody can come. And there's no, not, you know, there's no worries. If you were planning, if you had hoped, it's available to you. All right. And so we'll get Pat in again tomorrow morning and kind of reiterate this. And I'm sure, you know, like any big concert and any big attending, you know, ticketing service system, it'll be a little nutty at 10 o'clock tomorrow. You know, we've all done that, right? We've all tried to get floor seats for you two in Depeche Mode for me. you know, it's funny. Speaking of seats and SPAC, through the courtesy of the memory service at Facebook, it was, I guess, 3 years ago. Yeah, it must have been 2018. 3 years ago that I took Tina Hammer had bought tickets for the Dead and Company show, and I got a thing yesterday reminding me I'd put something up on Facebook. Tina's first experience, as I wrote it, I said first trip down Shakedown Street. That's going to be, haven't even looked yet at the SPAC schedule, the way it, you know, they also, right? Performing Arts Center has swung into action and filling in dates, and I'm sure there'll be more added. But the dead show on Traverse Eve, only adding to the frenzy, I think, right, of what's going to go on here. I gotta say, it is really a giddy atmosphere. We were in Saratoga yesterday again, Tina and I. We had to go, a bunch of things to do, and she had her car serviced, and you know, so I had to go pick up her car and dry clean her and whatnot. And I, by the way, this is on a personal note. Tina wanted to get me a new grill. My existing grill, and this is my fault because sometimes I leave the cover open and so forth. The plate that, you know, where the charcoal gets poured on has rusted through, and now it's literally crumbling, and it's a little too involved. I can't really see how I can replace this plate, so I think the charcoal grill is finished. So, and it put in a good 5 years or so, maybe six. So I think after having had a big Friday night barbecue where I had a lot, I had steaks and I had sausage and it was too much. And so I had two, you know, I put charcoal down on both sides and the temperature, you know, I couldn't really adjust the way I wanted. And so anyway, so I may make the transition to a gas grill. And this will be very difficult. this will go down hard because I don't think I've ever had a gas grill. I've used one someplace, along the way, but I never had one. I've only ever had charcoal. So I think I'm going to, Tina's picked out a lovely Weber gas thing, and it looks, and she asked me, do I want a rotisserie? And at first I said no. And then I looked up the rotisserie feature. We're not going to become like a Costco with the roast chickens, but I thought, you know what? Yeah, I think I do want the rotisserie. I at the last minute I said yes. Throw that on. Throw on the rotisserie. I read a bunch of reviews. People said it's great. Right? Let me know. Give me some Twitter feedback on the rotisserie feature. We still have time, but it's a whole to do. With the thing we picked out, it's coming from Maine, and it'll be shipped to a local Ace Hardware. They assemble it and deliver it. Deal. So anyway, I don't even know where. How did I even get off into the grilling weeds? I don't know how, but anyway, how did I get there? pretty funny. But now I'm completely, yeah. I will admit, as I referenced, the last week of shows till the summer side, and we always take off this last week. Got a very set behavior pattern. We're always off the last June. As soon as Tina gets out of school, the last week of June, early days of July, we've taken this off for 15 years, and of course we do the same thing the last week of Christmas and between Christmas and New Year's. Those are the 2 weeks we take. So I get punchy. I'll tell you. A couple of things. Let's see. We took care of this, and let me tell you what we got on. I just heard back from Boyd, and let's see if Boyd is. He's on his way to California, and I bring it up because the last of the two-year-old in training sales tomorrow. And yesterday, the Breeze Show, and in fact, we'll hear about the Breeze Show, I imagine, when we talk to Louis Mendez, but a Spitester, Colt, went 10-2 yesterday. That was the fastest. And he also had a Cupid filly go 22 flat. Most went the eighth, but there were half a dozen that breezed a quarter. And in fact, Louis Garcia from Ocala, Louis, both of the two fastest breezers came from his consignment. Just looking through. And, you know, Mike Makowski is, in fact, maybe if Boyd can't get to us, and he can, Boyd will join us at 10:30. I was going to say, Mike Makowski is Fasig's California rep. So this should be I would think this would go well. Last opportunity, and let's make sure Ella and you know the Gulfstream sale, etc. But you know, not everybody's in a position to do that. So having that sale, you know, delivered right to everybody, and then frankly, I'll tell you one part of this that's I imagine is a real positive, and that's shipping. You know, shipping a horse from, let's say, from Ocala to California is a few thousand. And so having all of these horses already out there, and, you know, after the sale, they're going to, you know, move right into, and some of them are just going to, you know, go from the holding barn that they're using this time. At Santa Anita, they'll go right into their new barn. And that's a nice little bonus, right? Little something for the family. so we'll talk to Boyd in a little bit, and he will give us our you know, kind of the summary, his thoughts on the market and how the two-year-old season, how the sale season went, and certainly, you know, on the heels of OBS June and... You know, everything else, Timonium and so forth, it feels like it was a very strong sale season. It winds down, and Boyd can also look ahead to July. The yearlings are going to hit the bricks, and then Saratoga. So, yeah, this is the transition, right, from first half of the year to in every which way to the second half. One thing yesterday that fell into place. And we're going to talk as well to Dallas Baker. And Dallas, who of course has been on with us about twice, I think, from BetMakers. And yesterday, the bill that was being considered in New Jersey for fixed odds wagering through the houses and both houses of Trenton. And we'll go to Governor Murphy, who seemingly anything involving gambling, Phil Murphy signs. That's sports gambling, whatever it is. Murphy's gung-ho. And I'm sure he'll turn up as well at Monmouth to make the first fixed odds bet. The expectation, and we'll talk to Dallas probably about 11, just say an hour three. I know he's tied up between 10 and 11. So we'll talk to Dallas Baker, and he'll give us some of the specifics. And the Haskell Day is the goal. There's going to be real limits. I'll let Dallas flesh this out. I mean, there's going to be challenges here. And the way in which it's structured initially with New Jersey residents, and all you got to do is look at, you know, the sports wagering business in New Jersey, which has been, I mean, a bonanza and has outpaced any expectation that everybody had. But at the same time, when it comes to this idea, you know, the concern is the liquidity and, you know, the amount of, you know, the pool that can make this work. But I'll let Dallas explain it, because the hope is that other states will come online in a nice orderly fashion, essentially. And as we've mentioned, and in fact, I think I discussed this with Dallas. In fact, he's quoted as saying, our ultimate goal is to have what happened in Australia over the last 10 years after online betting was deregulated, have it happen here. And I don't know if you remember a conversation we had at one of the symposiums. This is probably, well, there wasn't one last year. So it's either 2 years ago or 3 years ago. And I'd met some TAB representatives from Australia and New Zealand, and they showed me on their TAB account how the dual offering of the parimutuel and the fixed odds pools, how it was structured on the TAB interface. And what's happened, what he's referring to, what Dallas is referring to, is how fixed odds has it really become, you know, the favored wagering preference of TAB customers in Australia and New Zealand. So looking forward to talking to Dallas, and he'll answer. If you have questions, pop them up and on Twitter or email me or text me, whatever. And we've got a couple of hours, so figure 11, I'll give him a little extra time, maybe 11:20, give or take, for Dallas Baker. All right, from BetMakers, and I told him whatever help he needs to get the word out. All right, so I think it would be invaluable. I mean, I've explained this several times, and this all is the benefit of having, you know, dated and married a mutual clerk. One of the things that Tina, I remember, you know, whatever, 10, 12 years ago, we're getting to know each other even, and we were talking about, and she actually came on the, had her on the show a few times back then. We'd have like a, you know, meet your mutual clerk segment, and she'd sit down at the barbecue, and, you know, we would talk about patron mutual clerk interface. And one of the things that she really alerted me to that I guess you just either forget about as you become more, you know, more accomplished and more comfortable, you know, wagering, and you learn, you kind of forget some of the things that may have held you back or been frustrating. And there's an area of the parimutuel system that really inhibits the development of players. And it's frustration and confusion early on with inexperienced players, with neophytes. And it's kind of a two-pronged arena. And I always just kind of, I developed with Tina's input and with her explaining this concept to me, I've created the overwrap. You know, you never want somebody cashing a ticket and going away unsatisfied. Do you understand? You get what I mean? It the experience of taking a winning ticket to a mutual clerk, and most people, you know, not over the past year, but most people that became new to the, you know, become new to the sport and to wagering, you know, do it, you know, on track. So you don't want that experience to ever be negative, for somebody to walk away, been having handed money, and yet they're dissatisfied. You're creating a negative impression where you should be creating a positive impression. Well, how do we create that negative impression? Two different ways. One is the nonstop reporting of prices at, you know, what used to be the wagering increase. It's the Post, whatever it is. And they see a certain odd, you know, not, and by the time the bell rang, you know, those odds have come down. Well, if somebody goes up to the window and there's 8 minutes to post and it's 8-1, let them get 8-1. And that's why this fixed odds system is exciting, because people will be able to lock in prices. They might be able to lock in prices several times, actually, as the board fluctuates. I think there'll be obviously a learning curve. You know, the question we'll ask Dallas Baker, again, is the liquidity issue. I mean, is how, you know, what is going to be a, you know, a magic number, or, you know, what is the handle size, you know, what is the liquidity flow, you know, have to be, you know, critical mass, essentially, of dollars and cents to make this work. This is a topic that has come up over the years. I've been doing this 15 years, and it was Stanley Bergstein who had commissioned, or had, if I'm not mistaken, Lee Tomlinson, who had written a paper. I should go look for this again. It's been ages since I found it. I'm sure it's saved on a computer that's long since been retired. But when Australia, New Zealand, when they championed and created a, you know, an algorithm, a software program, essentially, I guess. This is not my area of expertise, but they created a system whereby through parimutuel style handle accumulation, prices could be locked in. I mean, that in a nutshell, that's what that program was about. And Stanley, this goes back, I want to say, to the mid-early 90s. I want to say 93, 94, 95. So that's how long this concept has been ruminating. Yeah, we'll talk more with Dallas Baker, the bet makers, who are here to make this happen. Fixed odds wagering. All right. I managed to wander through almost a half an hour here. Jeff Maday is going to join us from Canterbury, and we're going to look at tomorrow the sequence. They've got the Turf Festival, and in fact, let me take a glance, because I'm... I'm hopeful that they're not gonna deal. I mean, how often do you look forward to, you know, a day like this? And like tomorrow, and it's clear in Shakopee today, and it's gonna be clear tomorrow. Turf gonna be perfect. I tell you what, I'm smiling. You can hear me smiling because there's a typical Minnesota. The high today, 76. The low, 47. It's your basic 30 degree. We get that here, but it's funny to see it. And then tomorrow, low of 56, high of 90. Your basic 44 degree swing. It's pretty funny. But it's going to be gorgeous today and tomorrow in Shakopee. So we don't have to worry about this terrific sequence of turf races. The Oaks starts things off at 7:10 tomorrow night, and then the Dark Star follows the turf sprint. You've got a very funky MTA Stallion Auction Stake in here, going as the fifth, the 6.5 furlongs. These are horses that sold at the 2017 Stallion Auction, who's 2008 progeny, three-year-olds. It's pretty funny. Very interesting kind of mix of horses, including a couple of firsters. But there's a couple of horses that actually have run 70 buyers that are going to be heavily favored. The Lady Canterbury, the mile for the fillies and mares. The boys going a mile, or any girls that want to participate. And the Mystic Lake Derby, which came up very good. And in fact, it's a good week of derbies, right? Because we got the Ohio Derby that drew yesterday as well. But the Mystic Lake Derby tomorrow, field of 11, and I suppose, I think I mentioned yesterday, TD Dance for Brad Cox, going to be, I think, well-backed. And you've got Chess's Dream in here for Maker, for Michael Dubb and Mike Caruso and partners. And there's a couple of others that are right well within striking distance. Ian Wilkes has got Modern Science for Bob Lothan back. And, of course, a very nice weekend last few days for Lothan back already, given Bells the one. Then you got a couple of nice, kind of middle price long shots, 8-to-1s, et cetera. Nice Mystic Lake Derby. So we're going to talk to Jeff Madej at top of the hour. And look forward to that. Maggie Kimmett is going to join us from Herring Swell. And I not that we're, not disappointed to talk at all to Maggie, but I did ask Anita Motion if she wanted to visit, because the Real Ryder Cup, they're having to do it again virtually this year. Next year, I think they'll be back live and have a, full-fledged event. But I wanted to make sure that the Real Ryder Cup was showcased properly, and you get to vote for the horse and rider, their routine, and their voting is open. So we're going to get Maggie in here to talk about this year's version of the Real Ryder Cup and more. Phil D'Amato, as promised, Louis Mendez, Dallas Baker, Boyd Browning. There you go. Speaking of Ohio Derby, there's Saturday at Thistledown, and there's a companion story involved here with the Ohio Derby card. The Lady Jacqueline for the fillies and mares going a mile and an eighth, and the Ohio Derby yesterday. Or it might have even been Sunday, I think, that Dave Grenick reported on Country Grammar, the Hollywood Gold Cup winner, being shifted to Todd Pletcher. And Windstar also moving the filly, Crystal Ball. Crystal Ball went to Rudy Brissett. Crystal Ball, the Windstar Stablemates program, and of course, last year, runner-up in the coaching club Oaks. So far this year, just a couple of allowances kind of wading into action, and actually has run well at Santa Anita. Then she came to Churchill, and with Baffert having to deal with this New York suspension of indefinite timing, any horse that, you know, that the barn was hoping to target for Saratoga or, you know, late opportunities in at Belmont or Belmont in the fall, whatever, are going to have to be distributed. And in addition to Brissett getting Crystal Ball, and she's in the Lady Jacqueline, and he's actually had her seemingly, you know, since the not long after the race at Churchill, the win at Churchill, because she's been working at Keeneland. So, in addition, Brissett received Hosier, who last you last saw in the Sir Barton. Hosier participating in the Ohio Derby, and of course the other horse mentioning with Country Grammar. So obviously there's going to be, you know, until all the, you know, all the I's get dotted and T's get crossed on whatever's happening, whatever, however the Derby potential Derby DQ gets handled, etc. You know, this is going to be, you know, part of the storyline. So Crystal Ball, Malibu Moon, Philly. Stakes placed only. She really hadn't. Only ran in the Oaks, where Paris Lights caught her, and then the Alabama, a little bit out of her scope, a little too far for her. So, the Lady Jacqueline, actually, a horologist, shows up in here too for Bill Mott. That Jilted Bride that we had talked about with Steve Asmussen is in here. Phil D'Amato is going to join us, and he can tell us about Miss Bigley, who shows up out of the Shawnee, where she was chasing Envoûtante. I keep calling her Envoûtante and instead of Envoûtante. Get rid of what ails you in here. This is a good group. But listen, they're giving away $250,000. Well, it should be a good group. The Lady Jacqueline. Horologist, Crystal Ball, Jilted Bride, D'Amato's Miss Bigley. How about McPeak's got a Chilean. Is this? Did he talk about this with us? This Chilean mare, Grandbaby. I don't think he mentioned this Chilean. I mentioned get rid of what ails you. Oh, and Pletcher, Todd Pletcher's got Spices Nice coming out of that excellent effort in the Allaire DuPont. So this is a really good group. And I'll tell you what, Thistledown, I'm trying to remember last year's edition of this, if they ran it. They might not have run it last year, right? Did they cancel this card? I think they did. I don't think they ever got this card in, the Ohio Derby, etc. But this will stand a real chance. This running is going to score very nicely. And so in addition to the Grade 3 Ohio Derby, Thistledown may find themselves having the Lady Jacqueline graded. Nice. Well, and of course, the Ohio Derby, let's get to that. $500,000, the Grade 3. And I'll run it down for you. The Peter Pan winner, Promise Keeper, who was offered up as a potential starter in several places. He turns up here. Luis Saez sticks with. Luis has been with him from the first time he stepped on the racetrack. Falcon's Fury for Tim Maxey, a local allowance type that actually was claimed for a nickel and then has run a couple of good allowance races. Hosier, as mentioned. Chris Landeros aboard. King Fury, poor King Fury, who Got to stay healthy. You got to. You can make him the horse in the horse in the plastic bubble, or what was that, right? The boy in the bubble, the horse in the bubble. Keep him, you know. It's like a line out of Far Lap. If there's a bug between here and Perth, he'll catch it. Right, the Jim Pike. That's a Jim Pike line. King Fury, the Curlin preferred circle in Three Chimneys with Corey Lannery. Ethical Judgment, Brendan Walsh. The Honor Code Cult, who actually done very little wrong. 2 wins, 2 seconds for Phoenix. This was $170,000 Keeneland Yearling, bred by Mercedes Stables. Hello, Hot Rod. Keo Karamori. This is the Mosler Colt that won the Jimmy Wingfield for Brittany Russell. And last seen in the Tessio. Ran kind of an even, you know, just kind of didn't really go one direction or the other. Just sort of established position and stayed there. Francisco Arrieta gets a turn here, gets a try. It's actually, and of course, you know, Mosler, this is a Maryland bred, and we've already told you about Mosler and had Josh Pons on, and our own Volterine is in full to Mosler and pretty excited, actually. This colt was bred by Hillwood, by Mrs. Charles, and was a Timonium Yearling for 10,000, and has already made 120,000. Very nice. Hello, Hot Rod. The Reds for Kimmel, coming out of the Pennine Ridge, gets, and of course, I was going to say, gets back on the dirt, but that Pennine Ridge came off the grass, so his potential on the grass will be delayed further. Dylan Davis makes the trip out to Cleveland with the Reds. How about Keep Me in Mind? Fourth in the Preakness, filling out the Super. Gets a bit of a interesting makeover here. Blinkers Go On, try to get him a little bit closer and not be left with as much to do. And he gets first Lasix. Does Keep Me in Mind in here for Deodoro. Davey Cohen, of course. Proxy. You forgot about Proxy, didn't you? Yeah. Proxy turns up. The Tappet for Godolphin out of Panty Raid. Mike Stidham. Joe Bravo gets aboard. And Mask Parade gets the long-awaited graded stake debut. Mask Parade, of course, the upstart colt for Al Stahl. Took a while to break through and get the maiden win. And of course, he was elevated in that spot on the Louisiana Derby undercard. You may recall this was a bitter pill for Alejandro, the Rachel Alexandra brother, right? Yeah, and I, you know what? I don't think he's come back. He has not won yet. Correct. Or did he? Did he? I don't think he did. I think he's. I saw him come back. I don't. I'm gonna look at this because I'm. Now I'm curious about Alejandro, because that was a tough DQ, and I said Rachel. I said out of Rachel's brother, but not brother. Out of Rachel's Valentina. Nephew, as it were. Yeah, he did not. He has not won yet, and he can't. That's right. He came back on Derby Day and was third, and then just on May 23rd was second again. So that was. I mean, he's okay. Let's see, and he has not worked since that race. So, but in the meantime, Mask Parade then turned around and had that resounding win. When he went off by a dozen. So Miguel Mayne, of course, stays with. And finally, Channel Fury, James Jackson for Elkhorn Oaks. This is an even the score colt. Nice allowance horse, but taking a shot in the Ohio Derby. So there you go. Very nice Ohio Derby on Saturday. And, of course, we'll compete for attention with the big Churchill card that'll draw tomorrow. And really looking forward to talking about that action. Well, let's see. Oh, yesterday. Let me slip in. At this point, we'll just skate up a case till top of the hour, and then the second 2 hours will be chock full of action. Yesterday in Indiana, as we discussed with Bill Downs, this was exactly, you know, as we kind of hinted, this was a place where you wanted to concentrate your action, and perfect spot to, you know, try to do something like we've talked about. You know, you hear Nick, we talk about this, you know, pressing, you know, your A opinions, and this was a good opportunity to do it. And let me give you this, because the pick five ended up paying 3.5 times the parlay, which is seemingly impossible. Here it is. You had favorite, the second choice, favorite, second choice, and favorite. And the ones that Bill suggested as potential singles, if you wanted to, you know, really drill down, they came through. Specifically, Rock, Paper, Scissors, the MTO, absolutely came through at 70 cents on the dollar in that third leg, paid 340. And really, even in the first leg, if you wanted to, you know, if you wanted to have the minimal exposure, the minimal amount of multiples, Choctaw Bingo was your potential single, and she absolutely romped. If she had wings on her, she might have left the ground. She crushed there for Ray Hernandez. Paid 360, went off at 4-5. So if you single Choctaw Bingo, you were off to a great start. The second leg, you really only needed to try, you know, that it had scratched down and, you know, jump right in. And Birdie Blue did not run particularly well as the 6-5 favorite, but Jump Right In as the second choice, it got the lead early and cruised and paid 520. So the first three legs, 360, 520, and 340. And you really only, you know, if you wanted to go 2 by 2 by 1, okay. And then came that seventh race, which had scratched to 5. And Truculent ran very well. The disappointment here was Beau Lumiere, and I imagine some people might have singled there, but Beau Lumiere really, you know, kind of without a great answer. I mean, only got beat a neck or so, but Truculent, you know, essentially holding off Leperu and Beau Lumiere. And as a result, you ended up with your best price of the sequence, 780. So if there was a race where, you know, you had to go beyond the short price favorite, this was it. And then we talked in the nightcap, you needed Chauffeur and 55 strong, and that was it. And they basically sparred all the way around. And actually, Chauffeur ended up going off slightly favored. Went off at exactly 3-2, paid $5. And 55 strong ended up as second choice. I mean, you don't know that when you're punching the ticket. But here's the upshot of all this. You really didn't need to go much further than $8, maybe $16, and it paid $125.35 for every 50 cents. So this was, I suggested a $3 ticket, and if you'd done that, you know, it's $750 for a $24 play, or maybe a $48 play. And this was a really good chance to take, you know, to try that kind of, you know, I know people are, you know, you're a little hesitant to try a new ticket structure and so forth, but this was the opportunity, I thought, yesterday. That's why we, you know, I thought it was worthwhile, even off the turf and all that. And of course, you know, if you did win and you had Shofar to close it out, you get to blow your own horn. That's a Hebrew school joke. I'll be here all week, but not next week. Oh my God! Sorry, folks. How could I not resist? A shofar, for those of you that don't know, a shofar is a ram's horn. It's a hollow ram's horn that is utilized on the high holy days of the Jewish calendar. And you got to be a pretty talented hornsman. We would need Sam the bugler to. In fact, this summer when Sam's there, I'll pose that question. To Sam about, and I know he has, I know he's had experience blowing a shofar. So far, so good. Let's do this, Casey. You got to get me out of here. Let's take the top of the hour break. Jeff Manning is going to join us from Canterbury. And we'll talk about this great card that they've got lined up for tomorrow, the highlight. And I'm thrilled for them that that they are going to have a great weather day. Nothing worse than anticipating, you know, this kind of a stake slate and, you know, having people ship in and everybody looks forward. And, of course, they should have a good crowd. I mean, it's, you know, midweek, but that's the calendar. And they've been, you know, Canterbury's been famous for bringing people out to the racetrack. So they're going to have a great day. Let's take a break. An hour gone by here. I filibustered. And we'll start out. We got Jeff. We've got Phil D'Amato, Louis Mendez, Boyd Browning, Dallas Baker, Maggie Kimmett. And I think I'll probably get to Popo, too. We haven't talked to Popo in a week. Back after this at the races, Sirius XM.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Horse players, the Southern California Daytime Thoroughbred Racing Circuit is back at Los Alamitos Racecourse for our exciting summer meet. Opening day is Friday, June 25th, and will run through Monday, July 5th. First post is 1 p.m. Pacific, and as always, exciting racing action is ahead. Our opening weekend features the Bertrando Stakes on Saturday, June 26th, followed by a great 4th of July weekend of racing. On Saturday, July 3rd, the Los Alamitos Derby heads the marquee. Past winners of this race include Eclipse Award winners, Accelerate, Shared Belief, Game Winner, and more. On Sunday, July 4th, Los Alamitos will host a live money handicapping contest with two berths to the 2022 NHC up for grabs. And on closing day, Monday, July 5th, the racing action will be headed by the Great Lady M Stakes. Horse players, remember that Los Alamitos features a traditional $2 pick six with a 70-30 split. This summer, exciting daytime thoroughbred racing is back at Los Alamitos Racecourse. For more, visit losalamitos.com.
There's a great story to tell in Pennsylvania. Only three states have produced more Breeders' Cup champions, and no state can match our performance in recent years. Since 2016, our numbers of mares bred has skyrocketed, unlike the national trend. And this year's live foal report shows Pennsylvania up over 50%. Why? Our incentives and bonuses are the best in North America. Please visit us at pabred.com and see why Pennsylvania is the premier place to breed and race.
Developed by Horsemen, Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at Horsebills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
From BRL Equine, the people that bring you EPO Equine, Unlock, and Bleeder Shield, now comes Flexify HA, the most advanced scientifically based joint supplement on the market. To find out more, contact me, Joseph Vellante, at 215-501-6880. To be the best, give them only the best. BRL Equine.
SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews, taking you inside the sport of kings. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour two, after a exceedingly silly and frivolous few minutes with me. We're going to turn to some action, and excited to look at the Canterbury card for tomorrow. And I'm so glad I looked at the weather, and I'm thrilled that it's going to be a great evening in Shakopee, and looking forward to a visit with Jeff. All right. That's weird. That's what. All right. Casey's got a call on a different line, and All right. Casey explaining to me that not sure. I thought that was the right number. Anyway, we're going to talk to Jeff Mette from Canterbury about the Mystic Lake, and I forget what they're. I think they call it. Do they call it the turf? I forget. They call it the Turf Festival. I think there's a turf. There was a turf moniker to it. And as I mentioned yesterday, as we wait for Jeff, the pick five. You know, they got this amazing the 10% takeout, which is just the lowest anywhere. Starts in race six, so you got three stakes, and then. It goes to a pair of allowances on the back end. So, and you know, the whole card, you know, starting with the stake, with the Oaks, is very strong. So, going to look forward, and I'll go through this myself. As soon as we get Jeff in here, I think we got him now. Track Flack, as they call as he calls himself, Jeff Mette. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. And I really have come to look forward to this, and I am delighted that the Canterbury faithful, Jeff, will get to come out on a beautiful evening, it looks like, tomorrow.
Yeah, it's supposed to be back up pressing 90 degrees.